The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
It's Tuesday, Good News Day in this month of the Rosary. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Tuesday, October 5th, 2021, Tuesday of the 27th week in Ordinary Time. In the Missal, it's liturgical year B, cycle 1. Tuesday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. And today is the optional memorial of Blessed Francis Xavier Seelos. Born in southern Bavaria in 1819, he studied in Munich and heard about the work of the Redemptorists in the United States. He came to this country in 1843. At the end of 1844, he was assigned to Pittsburgh as an assistant to St. John Newman. Several years in parish ministry in Maryland followed, with responsibility for training Redemptorist students. During the Civil War, Father Seelos went to Washington, D.C., and appealed to President Lincoln for those students not to be drafted, although some eventually were. For several years, he preached in English and German throughout the Midwest and Mid-Atlantic states. He was assigned to New Orleans and in 1867 died of yellow fever, having contracted it while visiting the sick. Blessed Francis Xavier Seelos, pray for us. And let's offer this day to the Lord. Into thy hands, O God, we commend ourselves this day and all those who are dear to us. Let the gift of thy wonderful presence be with us even to the end of the day. Grant that we never lose sight of thee all the day long, but rather praise and beseech thee that our thanks may come to thee again at its close. Amen. And along with Pope Francis, we pray that every baptized person may be engaged in evangelization available to the mission by being witnesses of a life that is the flavor of the gospel. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Today we reflect on the gospel scene where Jesus and his disciples arrive at the house of his friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus in Bethany. He felt at home in that house where he was surrounded by friendship and affection. And that's how we want to welcome you, Lord, in our hearts when we are praying. So in this time of prayer, we want to linger in the home of Bethany to learn how we can welcome Jesus. Because in that home, Martha offers her loving service and Mary offers her openness of heart. So he tried to picture Martha, who is busy with the work that really needs to be done. After all, the guests have to be fed. But her busyness prevented her maybe from even looking at the faces of her guests. The face of Jesus. Caught up in serving Jesus, Martha forgot to be actually with Jesus, to enjoy the presence of the guest, to listen to the story that Jesus must have been telling. On the other hand, her sister Mary prefers to be at the side of Jesus, listening to him, keeping him company and conversing with him. Well, that's how we should be like towards Jesus who comes to visit us. Yes, Martha was burdened with much serving, while her sister Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him. So when Martha came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." So the Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." So in Mary, we see that the best option is to be with Christ, to digest what he offers us, to receive his message. Well, yes, in our lives, there are so many important things to attend to, many duties to carry out. But we have to choose the better part. That is to stay with Jesus. Lord, you know how we get so occupied in our own things that we forget about you. But now as this gospel scene gives us some reality check, we want to listen attentively, like Mary, to what you tell us, Lord. But at the same time, like Martha, we also want to be busy with your things. Because in this life, we always sense the tension between the demands of our daily grind and our longing for inner peace. So to reach that balance, give us, Lord, the attentiveness of Mary and the diligence of Martha. It's not easy to reach that balance. Just think of Martha doing all the work and Mary just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him converse with the apostles. And it's understandable that Martha would get nervous. Feeding the 13 guests, that's assuming Jesus came with the 12 apostles. That's not a small task. And her sister Mary could have helped her. So she tries to get Jesus to tell Mary to lend a hand. But Jesus doesn't. He was happy that Mary wanted to sit beside him and spend time with him. He actually commends Mary. Why? Well, it's probably because Jesus was happy, yes, to be served, but he was even happier to be loved. He looks for our love. He is more interested in the love with which we serve him than in our many accomplishments. Probably Martha has become so concerned with doing things for the Lord that she has forgotten to be with the Lord. She got so occupied in cooking a meal for Jesus that she forgot what Jesus came for. He didn't come for a free meal. He wanted to be with his friends. So when Martha complains, Jesus reminds her that wanting to be in control of everything can sometimes get in the way of what is really important, which is to love him, to love you, Lord. Although the tendency of Martha is strong and familiar because there are so many practical things to be done that we tend to get frantic. We can get caught up in many events in our life and we could end up fragmented when many things call for attention. And we end up working at the pace of the cheetah. The cheetah is an amazing animal. It's known as the fastest animal on earth, you could almost say. It was designed by God for speed. Everything about a cheetah contributes to its superlative running skills. It has an oversized, powerful heart that pumps huge amounts of blood. It has large lungs and nostrils that allow for fast and deep air intake. And eyes that are extra long so the cheetah can get a fast, wide-angle view of its surroundings, even at top speed. And it has an extra flexible spine that curves with each stride, acting something like a spring for the back legs. It also has a large tail that is both a rudder and a counterweight to the cheetah's body so it doesn't spin during fast turns. And a cheetah's legs has an incredibly broad swing range, allowing the animal to achieve a stride of 25 feet. Well, the combination of all of those special anatomical characteristics allows the cheetah to attain speeds of up to 70 miles per hour. Unfortunately, though, the drain on its heart is such that it cannot maintain that speed for more than about 600 yards. So exhausted and overheated, if the cheetah does not catch its prey in those first 600 yards, it must forfeit the kill and rest. And if even if it makes the kill, the cheetah must take time to recuperate and recharge its energy before it can eat its kill. Either way, the weak and depleted cheetah is now itself vulnerable and often falls prey to other predators in its weakened state. So ironically, the cheetah's greatest strength, its speed, leads to its great vulnerability, the total depletion of its energy. Likewise, the immense physical, mental, and spiritual demands of life can take a toll, leaving us exhausted, vulnerable. So even if you may possess a powerful heart for action, pace yourself. Remember to put things in perspective so you don't lose sight of your mission in life, which is to be with Jesus as you serve Him in all things. In these 10 minutes, we have all chosen to come and listen to Jesus. And He wants us to continue to choose this better part. What is this better part? What should be our first task? Well, a Christian author gave a very good answer to that. He said, "My main job is to live with deep contentment, joy, and confidence in my everyday experience of life with God. Everything else is job number two." So before getting distracted with the day's activities, let us spend some quiet moments with Jesus to process with Him what we have to accomplish. He has many things to tell us. So let's seek those moments of silence and peace to help us find Jesus again, and in Him to find ourselves once more. Before we overload our day with so many activities and commitments, let us be with our Lord in prayer. Only that will give real clarity and meaning to the many things that we do. Unless we're connected to our Lord, none of our actions can have enduring value. But with prayer, with a strong connection to Jesus, we acquire the attentiveness of Mary and the diligence of Martha. And our abundant work will not be an obstacle to a close relationship with Jesus. So we turn now to our Mother Mary, the seat of wisdom. "My Mother, give us the wisdom to realize that one thing only is required, that of listening to Jesus, turning our eyes and heart toward Him, not only attentive, but also receptive to what He's saying. May we realize what it means to be in the presence of Jesus, and what it means that He is with us always. Then we can proclaim Him to others in actions and in words. I thank You, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that You have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask Your help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me."
More of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. We'll pray next. This is Daybreak. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. I'm Paul Sadek. We begin this day of prayer led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
"Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim Your praise.
Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord.
Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord.
Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, singing for joy.
Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord.
Know that He, the Lord, is God. He made us, we belong to Him. We are His people, the sheep of His flock.
Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord.
Go within His gates giving thanks. Enter His courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name.
Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord.
Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal His merciful love. He is faithful from age to age.
Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord.
Let God arise. Let his enemies flee before him.
Let God arise. Let his enemies flee before him.
Let God arise. Let his foes be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is blown away, so will they be blown away. Like wax that melts before the fire, so shall the wicked perish at the presence of God. But the just shall rejoice at the presence of God. They shall exult and dance for joy. O sing to the Lord, make music to his name. Make a highway for him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice in the Lord, exult at his presence. Father of the orphan, defender of the widow, such is God in his holy place. God gives the lonely a home to live in. He leads the prisoners forth into freedom, but rebels must dwell in a parched land. When you went forth, O God, at the head of your people, when you marched across the desert, the earth trembled. The heavens melted at the presence of God, at the presence of God, Israel's God. You poured down, O God, a generous rain. When your people were starved, you gave them new life. It was there that your people found a home, prepared in your goodness, O God, for the poor. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let God arise. Let his enemies flee before him.
Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death.
Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death.
The Lord gives the word to the bearers of good tidings. The Almighty has defeated a numberless army, and kings and armies are in flight, while you were at rest among the sheepfolds. At home, the women already share the spoil. They are covered with silver as the wings of a dove, its feathers brilliant with shining gold, and jewels flashing like snow on Mount Zalmon. The mountains of Bashan are mighty mountains. High-ridged mountains are the mountains of Bashan. Why look with envy, you high-ridged mountains, at the mountain where God has chosen to dwell? It is there that the Lord shall dwell forever. The chariots of God are thousands upon thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai to the holy place. You have gone up on high. You have taken captives, receiving men in tribute, O God, even those who rebel, into your dwelling, O Lord. May the Lord be blessed day after day. He bears our burdens, God our Savior. This God of ours is a God who saves. The Lord our God holds the keys of death, and God will smite the head of his foes, the crown of those who persist in their sins. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depth of the sea. Then your feet will tread in their blood, and the tongues of your dogs take their share of the foe. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death.
Kingdoms of earth, sing praise to God. Make music in honor of the Lord.
Kingdoms of earth, sing praise to God. Make music in honor of the Lord.
They see your solemn procession, O God, the procession of my God, of my King, to the sanctuary, the singers in the forefront, the musicians coming last, between them, maidens sounding their timbrels. In festive gatherings, bless the Lord. Bless God, O you who are Israel's sons. There is Benjamin, least of the tribes, at the head. Judah's princes, a mighty throng. Zebulun's princes, Naphtali's princes. Show forth, O God, show forth your might, O God, which you have shown for us. For the sake of your temple, high in Jerusalem, may kings come to you, bringing their tribute. Threaten the wild beast that dwells in the reeds, the bands of the mighty and lords of the peoples. Let them bow down, offering silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Princes will make their way from Egypt. Ethiopia will stretch out her hands to God. Kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Praise the Lord who rides on the heavens, the ancient heavens. He thunders his voice, his mighty voice. Come, acknowledge the power of God. His glory is on Israel. His might is in the skies. God is to be feared in his holy place. He is the Lord, Israel's God. He gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, you have given us joy in your holy meal. Help us to understand the significance of your death and to acknowledge you as the conqueror of death seated at the right hand of the Father.
Kingdoms of earth, sing praise to God. Make music in honor of the Lord.
I will listen to what the Lord God is saying.
He tells of peace for his people.
From the first letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. You can depend on this. Whoever wants to be a bishop aspires to a noble task. A bishop must be irreproachable, married only once, of even-tempered, self-controlled, modest, and hospitable. He should be a good teacher. He must not be addicted to drink. He ought not be contentious, but rather gentle, a man of peace. Nor can he be someone who loves money. He must be a good manager of his own household, keeping his children under control without sacrificing his dignity. For if a man does not know how to manage his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? He should not be a new convert, lest he become conceited and thus incur the punishment once meted out to the devil. He must also be well thought of by those outside the church to ensure that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons must be serious, straightforward, and truthful. They may not overindulge in drink or give in to greed. They must hold fast to the divinely revealed faith with a clear conscience. They should be put on probation first. Then, if there is nothing against them, they may serve as deacons. The women, similarly, should be serious, not slanderous gossips. They should be temperate and entirely trustworthy. Deacons may be married but once and must be good managers of their children and their households. Those who serve well as deacons gain a worthy place for themselves and much assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to visit you soon, I am writing to you about these matters so that if I should be delayed, you will know what kind of conduct befits a member of God's household, the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of truth. Wonderful indeed is the mystery of our faith. As we say in professing it, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in throughout the world, taken up into glory. The word of the Lord. You must have at heart every member of the flock, for the Holy Spirit has made you their shepherds.
You must rule over the church of God, which he has made his own through the blood of his Son.
The great quality of a steward is to be faithful to his duty.
You must rule over the church of God, which he has made his own through the blood of his Son.
A reading from the beginning of a letter to the Trallians by St. Ignatius of Antioch, bishop and martyr. Ignatius, also called Theophorus, to the Holy Church at Tralles in the province of Asia, dear to God the Father of Jesus Christ, elect and worthy of God, enjoying peace in body and in the spirit through the passion of Jesus Christ, who is our hope through our resurrection when we rise to him. In the manner of the apostles, I too send greetings to you with the fullness of grace and extend my every best wish. Reports of your splendid character have reached me, how you are beyond reproach and ever unshaken in your patient endurance, qualities that you have not acquired but are yours by nature. My informant was your own bishop, Polybius, who by the will of God and Jesus Christ visited me here in Smyrna. He is so fully entered into my joy at being in chains for Christ that I came to see your whole community embodied in him. Moreover, when I learned from him of your God-given kindliness toward me, I broke out in words of praise for God. It is on him I discovered that you pattern your lives. Your submission to your bishop, who is in the place of Jesus Christ, shows me that you are not living as men usually do, but in the manner of Jesus himself, who died for us that you might escape death by belief in his death. Thus one thing is necessary, and you already observe it, that you do nothing without your bishop. Indeed, be subject to the clergy as well, seeing in them the apostles of Jesus Christ our hope. For if we live in him, we shall be found in him. Deacons too, who are ministers of the mysteries of Jesus, should in all things be pleasing to all men. For they are not mere servants with food and drink, but emissaries of God's church. Hence, they should guard themselves against anything deserving reproach, as they would against fire. Similarly, all should respect the deacons as Jesus Christ, just as all should regard the bishop as the image of the Father, and the clergy as God's Senate and the College of the Apostles. Without these three orders, you cannot begin to speak of a church. I am confident that you share my feelings in this matter, for I have had an example of your love in the person of your bishop, who is with me now. His whole bearing is a great lesson, and his very gentleness wields a mighty influence. By God's grace, there are many things I understand, but I keep well within my limitations for fear that boasting should be my undoing. At the moment, then, I must be more apprehensive than ever and pay no attention to all those who flatter me. Their praise is as a scourge. For though I have a fierce desire to suffer martyrdom, I know not whether I am worthy of it. Most people are unaware of my passionate longing, but it assails me with increasing intensity. My present need, then, is for that humility by which the prince of this world is overthrown. And so I strongly urge you, not I so much as the love of Jesus Christ, to be nourished exclusively on Christian fare, abstaining from the alien food that is heresy. And this you will do if you are neither arrogant nor cut off from God, from Jesus Christ, and from the bishop and the teachings of the apostles. Whoever is within the sanctuary is pure, but whoever is not is unclean. That is to say, whoever acts apart from the bishop and the clergy and the deacons is not pure in his conscience. In writing this, it is not that I am aware of anything of the sort among you. I only wish to forewarn you, for you are my dearest children.
Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit through a peace that binds you together. There is but one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope when you were called.
There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
No one can lay a foundation other than the one which has been laid, that is, Christ Jesus.
There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Let us pray.
Almighty ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
22 minutes before the hour, and we'll check out today's gospel in just a few minutes, along with In Conversation with God, and we'll pray morning prayer. It's all coming up on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Tuesday, October 5th, 2021, Tuesday of the 27th week in Ordinary Time. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the Lord and his apostles stop for a rest at the home of some friends. It's from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke.
Now, as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said,
"Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me."
"Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her."
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. You'll find all of the daily Mass readings on the Relevant Radio app. Well, as we see from the story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, in a very broad sense, the active life and the contemplative life cannot be mutually exclusive. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 5, Ordinary Time. In his Gospel, St. Luke relates that while Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, he took time out to rest with friends at Bethany. His friends were Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, a brother and two sisters. They enjoyed a wonderful friendship with the Lord, as is evident from various references in the Gospels. The Master was at ease in their home, surrounded thus as he was by friends. Martha busied herself with preparing some refreshment for Jesus and his disciples just arrived from their dusty and demanding travels. Martha was distracted with much serving. Meanwhile, Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. For many years, Martha has been held up as a symbol of the active life, while Mary has been thought of as a symbol of the contemplative life. Perhaps this is not a very helpful distinction for the many, many Christians who seek to sanctify themselves through their work in the middle of the world. How is one's life at work in the university and the kitchen to make any sense if it has no connection with God? Conversely, how meaningful can one's life of prayer be if it bears no fruit in deeds of charity, loyal friendship, and work well done? Work, study, life's ordinary trials all have to become a means of and an occasion for meeting God. In this life, the contemplation of supernatural reality, the action of grace in our souls, our love for our neighbor as a result of our love for God, all these are already a foretaste of heaven, a beginning that is destined to grow from day to day. We Christians cannot resign ourselves to leading a double life. Our life must be a strong and simple unity into which all our actions converge. Let us be contemplative souls, carrying on an unceasing dialogue with our Lord at all hours, from the first thought of the day to the last, turning our heart constantly toward our Lord Jesus Christ, going to Him through our Mother, Holy Mary, and through Him to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Our conversation with Jesus should be nourished by our professional concerns, our noble hopes, our worries. If we were not to act in this way, what indeed would we have to talk about? Our Lord's friends at Bethany told the Lord all about their mundane concerns. The apostles acted in the same manner. A few of these dialogues have been recorded in the Gospel, as when the apostles raised the matter with Jesus, Master, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. The apostles would reveal to Jesus their most heartfelt longings. Who can be saved? We have left everything and followed you. Life itself was their topic of conversation with Jesus. We should make this way our own. As we pray more about our daily concerns, we will find those realities to be increasingly filled with prayer. With Jesus by our side, we will learn how to become better friends, better citizens, better workers. We will be more human, especially open and attentive to the needs of others. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You will find it at your local Catholic bookstore, either in individual volumes or in a 7-volume box set. And if it's not in stock, go ahead and ask them to order it for you. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's time to pray. We join the whole church, all the angels and saints, as we are led by our friends at DivineOffice.org, a lay apostolate promoting the prayer of the Liturgy of the Hours by all of the faithful. We join together now in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Lord, you have blessed your land. You have forgiven the sins of your people.
Lord, you have blessed your land.
You have forgiven the sins of your people.
O Lord, you once favored your land and revived the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the guilt of your people and covered all their sins. You averted all your rage. You calmed the heat of your anger.
Revive us now, God, our helper. Put an end to your grievance against us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will your anger never cease?
Will you not restore again our life, that your people may rejoice in you? Let us see, O Lord, your mercy, and give us your saving help.
I will hear what the Lord God has to say, a voice that speaks of peace. Peace for his people and his friends and those who turn to him in their hearts. His help is near for those who fear him, and his glory will dwell in our land.
Mercy and faithfulness have met. Justice and peace have embraced. Faithfulness shall spring from the earth and justice look down from the heavens.
The Lord will make us prosper, and our earth shall yield its fruit. Justice shall march before him, and peace shall follow his steps.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Show us your mercy, Lord. Our misery is known to us. May no evil desires prevail over us, for your glory and love dwell in our hearts.
Lord, you have blessed our land.
You have forgiven the sins of your people.
My soul has yearned for you in the night, and as morning breaks, I watch for your coming.
My soul has yearned for you in the night, and as morning breaks, I watch for your coming.
A strong city have we. He sets up walls and ramparts to protect us. Open up the gates to let in a nation that is just, one that keeps faith.
A nation of firm purpose you keep in peace. In peace for its trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an eternal rock.
The way of the just is smooth. The path of the just you make level. Yes, for your way and your judgments, O Lord, we look to you. Your name and your title are the desire of our souls.
My soul yearns for you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me keeps vigil for you. When your judgment dawns on the earth, the world's inhabitants learn justice.
O Lord, you mete out peace to us, for it is you who have accomplished all we have done.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
My soul has yearned for you in the night, and as morning breaks,
I watch for your coming.
Lord, let the light of your face shine upon us.
Lord, let the light of your face shine upon us.
O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice, with fairness. You rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Be gracious and bless us, Lord, and let your face shed its light on us, so that we can make you known with reverence and bring forth a harvest of justice.
Lord, let the light of your face shine upon us.
A reading from 1 John. We have seen for ourselves and can testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. When anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My God stands by me. All my trust is in him.
My God stands by me. All my trust is in him.
I find refuge in him, and I am truly free.
All my trust is in him.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
My God stands by me. All my trust is in him.
God has raised up for us a mighty Savior, as he promised through the words of his holy prophets.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
God has raised up for us a mighty Savior, as he promised through the words of his holy prophets. Lord Jesus, by your blood you have purchased for yourself a new people. We adore you and beseech you.
Remember your people, Lord.
Our King and our Redeemer, hear the praises of your church at the beginning of this day.
Teach her to glorify your majesty without ceasing.
Remember your people, Lord.
You are our hope and our strength. In you we trust.
May we never despair.
Remember your people, Lord.
Look kindly upon our weakness and hasten to our aid.
For without you, we can do nothing.
Remember your people, Lord.
Remember the poor and the afflicted. Do not let this day be a burden to them,
but a consolation and a joy.
Remember your people, Lord.
Let us make our prayers and praise complete by offering the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
God our Father, yours is the beauty of creation and the good things you have given us. Help us to begin this day joyfully in your name and to spend it in a loving service of you and our fellow man. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Well, I told you October is the month of the Rosary, and I have a question for you. If 1 million people prayed the Rosary every night in October, would it make a difference? Relevant Radio, EWTN, and the Napa Institute are combining to promote the Daily Rosary for Life this October. We hope many other Catholic organizations follow this lead because we believe if everyone does something, we could have more than 1 million Catholics praying daily in the month of the Rosary. We're praying for an end to legal abortion in the United States. So join us every night at 7 Central for the Family Rosary Across America. And if you can't join us for that, pray 5 decades of the Rosary anyway. People who pray together have the potential to change the course of history. Time to get your day in gear. Morning Air is coming up in just a few minutes with John and Glenn. Patrick Madrid a bit later on this morning. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. In the meantime, you go out, make this a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 Minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.